We have to do peacemaking and community building and relationship building and restoring of brokenness. That sounds a little bit like Jesus. Active in redemption and active in forgiveness. What can we do? What difference can we make? What difference can you make? What difference can I make? What can we do together to make the world into a different place, to make Coronado into a different place that aligns itself to God's dream for creation and Jesus' path forward? I believe that we have got to hear this set of sermon series, this healthy, intimate covenant community series, as marching orders, as a call to arms to slow and steady movement towards healthy, intimate covenant community. We have to aim and we have to do something. We have set the stage. We've talked about how biblical it is, this healthy, intimate covenant community. We've talked about healthy, we've talked about intimate, we've talked about covenant. We've talked about the way that it feels like God is in God's essence community in the Trinity. We've shared experiences here from individuals who've said, this is where my community is. This is where I feel deeply connected. And I have to confess that we, the Christian church throughout the ages, have a mixed tradition as church for creating healthy, intimate covenant community. Usually we have found our way to create church by defining who is in and who is out, not worrying about trying to figure out how to make the table longer to fit more places at the table. We generally are figuring out who should be excluded, and we say it this way: I'm going to include all the folks I like, and unintentionally, let's say, include some people out. We have done interesting things to witches and Protestants and Catholics and women and divorce folks and smokers and people of other races and other nations. We do not, as the church triumphant, have a great history of forming a wonderful path forward for what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. So can we all admit that our human implementation of healthy, intimate covenant community is usually flawed? We are, my friends, imperfect copies of our Creator. And so we have to intentionally bind ourselves together so that the God invested part of you and the God invested part of me and all those gifts come together and we get to be something as community that is bigger and better than who we can be by ourselves. As individuals, we are flawed. As flawed individuals, we can be really flawed community, or we can find a way forward. How do we sharpen our tools so that we can do what it is that God is asking us to do? How can we move forward? How can we have a future that is a beloved community, a church, a healthy, intimate covenant community that we would love to be able to give to our grandchildren? Because if we're not careful, they're not coming to more of this. So before we went off to Northern Ireland, this group of clergy got together and we talked about how we were going to be covenant community together, and they were... There was a discussion of beloved community guidelines. Knowing full well that none of the folks in there were going to agree with everything you said, it was important for us to set up a covenant with each other. One of them was try on a different side of the discussion. Like you try on clothes at the store to find out whether it fits you or not. Maybe we can, I have a tendency to use the word reframe for this. Reframe the way you're thinking about it so you see it from their point of view. Try it on and see how the discussion goes. It could be a new way of doing something. Number two on our list of beloved community guidelines was it's okay to disagree. Some days in our world, it is not okay to disagree. But we declared in our group it was okay to disagree, to acknowledge our similarities and our common ground, and that it's okay to have differences, how to respect and utilize and appreciate those differences. How do we love people we don't agree with? It is not the same as don't hang out with them. That doesn't build community. And we were going to be spending some quality time together. We were given permission to share a dissenting opinion. And every once in a while, that was the most informative part of the discussion. When somebody says, you know, I don't quite agree with that because of, and it gave everybody a new take on something. So having a dissenting opinion, even if it's of your pastor from a sermon, can be a very healthy thing. This is not the same as agree to disagree, because what we're saying is I throw up my arms, I don't care anymore, but yeah, whatever. But if we're going to be in community, we've got to stay in the conversation and we've got to love folks in spite of differences. Rule number three, it's not okay to blame, shame, or attack yourself or others. It is not okay to blame, shame, or attack. Now, if we could get this one tattooed on our foreheads, so that the other person could remind us every once in a while when we're shaming ourselves or blaming someone else. It is not okay to blame, shame, or attack yourself or others. Disagreement and blame, shame, and attack are not the same thing. We speak for ourselves and where we're coming from, but we've got to value somebody else's experience, not try to condemn them in it. It can be words that make folks feel shamed, actions, nonverbals, facial expressions, body language. There's all kinds of ways we use and don't mean to use at times. Blame, shame, and attack. Yes, I'll provide these notes another time for you to have a list of things we can do to try to move forward. Practice self-focus. You'll gain more from the experience if you focus on what you are experiencing, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, and your responses. And you can pretty much be guaranteed that you're experiencing something totally different than other folks in the room. But focus on that because it allows you to move from where you are to where you're moving towards. A good way to remember to practice self-focus is to make I statements rather than we, you, or they. And the example they used as we were discussing it was, you can do that when we don't want to go out on a limb. It helps us feel safe. Saying something like, pastors have a hard time taking a day off every week. And we were told not to say that. We can say this: I have a hard time taking a day off every week. Notice process and content. Notice intent and impact. Here's the key one that really was important for me was that just because you don't intend it to harm somebody doesn't mean it doesn't harm somebody. And if we're in covenant community, if we're in relationship with each other, we have to respond to the unintended consequences of our actions and our words. That makes us responsible community together. Intent and impact. Both intent and impact must be taken into consideration. There is no "it's the thought that counts" excuse for being in community. The last one I want to bring up this morning is the practice both and thinking. It's okay to have part of it and add additional to it, but if you're not careful, you say something like, da-da-da-da-da-da, but, and it negates everything that you just said. I agree with you that it is, but. So, both and thinking. Like I said, the one that made the most impact on me was being careful about, even if you have the best intentions, the way it impacts somebody is still part of what we're trying to do, is to take care of each other. We've run across, the core message for building healthy, intimate covenant community all through our lives, and it's a very simple action, and it's, you want to go get a cup of coffee? The key is you don't just say that to your friends. Getting to know somebody. Remember the book, The Anatomy of Peace? Maybe time to read it again. It was last December. The key thing in trying to move along the anatomy of peace and move past conflict was get to know each other. Form a relationship. One of the things that we heard over and over in Northern Ireland is that when they were teaching their children to go a particular direction, that it was inevitable that as 15-year-olds they were going to throw rocks. And what they've learned now is they've got to let their children go to the same schools with each other, even though they're still mad from 50 years ago. That teaching folks to get along makes a difference. I'm here to tell you that fixing conflict in one sense, form, or fashion, one way past violence, one way to establish community is get to know each other better. The politician that we sat down with said the key moment in his ability to allow for change was that it started with this phrase, "We should go to lunch." The peace process in Northern Ireland shifted on, "We should sit down at the same table." I don't trust you. That's going to take some time. But you never get to trust if you don't get in the same room, right? Have lunch. Learn their hopes and their dreams, their fears and their concerns. And then when they say something that you don't agree with, you've already established enough relationship to be able to move forward deeper. Remember, healthy, intimate, covenant community. That's what we're aiming for. So if you're at the Waffle House at 2 in the morning and the staff doesn't show up, do you leave in disgust? Say, "I'm never coming back there again"? Sometimes the answer is yes, we do that. I'm not sure that builds the kingdom of God. I'm not sure that establishes community. If you think that you're going to come here every Sunday morning and hear me agree with you, you're in deep, deep trouble. Sometimes the next year I'm looking back at sermons and going, "Yeah, I wish I hadn't said it that way." But if need be, I'm going to learn how to make coffee. Anybody want to go to the Waffle House? Sit down and talk, get to know each other a little better? Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, allow us to take steps in the right direction, to aim towards this unbelievable vision that you have for us, that enemies will sit down, lions and lambs and calves, in very dangerous places, allowing connection to unfold. Help us, Lord, to move towards deeper connection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.